Thank you for the welcome, and thanks for Simon for inviting me. Goodness, there's people over there as well. I don't know where to look actually. Oh goodness, everywhere. Okay, so you're going through a series on deeper, going deeper. I was going to say deeper compassion, but that's this morning. You've been going deeper in a lot of different subjects over the last number of weeks. So this morning we're looking at deeper compassion. So why don't we start with a definition as to what compassion is? And as I said in St. Saviour's an hour or so ago, I can't even remember which website I ripped this definition off. Shows you how unacademic I actually am. So compassion is an emotional response to empathy or sympathy and creates a desire to help. That's the important part to remember. This creation of a desire to help. And here's what empathy is. Empathy is our feeling of awareness towards other people's emotions and an attempt to understand how they feel. And that's good, isn't it? We want to feel what other people are going through. We want to sort of be with them. But the difference between that and compassion is compassion creates that desire to want to do something to actually help people. So I just want you to imagine or maybe think about the last time you experienced a power cut. The lights went out, the internet went down, the TV was gone, and if it was the evening or night time, you've ended up in darkness, literally. You've been dropped into darkness. Just keep that image in your mind for a few seconds. My name's Jim Fleming. I am CAPS Area Manager here in Northern Ireland. So I have the pleasure of looking after, we've got 20 debt centres across Northern Ireland. You've one here in the parish, run by a lovely lady called Ruth Waddell, who does a wonderful job. There's also 14 life skills courses that CAP run from local churches across the province, and we also do 7 job clubs. So today I'm here with you to think about this idea of deeper compassion by looking primarily at the work of Christians against poverty. Now before we go on and think about compassion, deeper compassion, please don't think just because I'm up here at the front that I actually have it all together when it comes to this subject. I don't. Let's be honest about it. I need to do more to be compassionate to people we come across through the work of CAP, people I come across in Portadown through the work of our church plant, which is tied in with Seago Parish. And I think that's probably true of all of us. We all have that sort of self-protection in our nature, look after ourselves. But as we're going to find out, we need to do more, actually, to try to follow what Jesus calls us to do in this area. Now, there are people right across the wider Lurgan, Craigavon, Moira areas who are trapped in the darkness of unmanageable debt. And over the next few minutes, I just want to take us on a little bit of a journey as to answer 3 simple questions. Who we help as CAP? What does that help look like? And lastly, how can you be involved? So the first one, who do we help? Let's have another definition. What do I mean by unmanageable debt? Unmanageable debt means making impossible choices. I'll say that again because that's really so important. Unmanageable debt means making impossible choices. Simon mentioned this one earlier. It's a choice between heating and eating. We've seen the price of everything go up in the last number of months, haven't we? It's staggering. It's a choice between a roof over your family's head or warm clothes for your children in the winter. In 2019, just a year before the current coronavirus pandemic hit, the Money Advice Service estimated that over 1,900 households in the ABC council area were in this situation and needed face-to-face debt advice. Isn't that massive? 1,900 families or individuals in need of face-to-face debt advice, but sadly no one had the capacity to help them. And the other sad fact about this is that that number will only have risen because of what we've been living through over the last couple of years, and more especially actually in the last number of months with the rising price of everything. And that's why what we're looking at today is really so important. Unmanageable debt is a power cut. It's a blackout. But how does that situation feel if you're actually in it? Just like a power cut cuts off your lines of communication, unmanageable debt isolates you from friends and from family. If you can't afford the bus fare to go and visit, if you can't afford to put petrol in your car, if you're blessed to have a car, if you can't even afford the credit to put onto your mobile phone, you begin to lose touch with those who are closest to you. And just like a power cut comes without any warning, unmanageable debt can come in exactly the same manner. Most people think about debt and go, goodness, they've gone mad on the old credit cards, haven't they? They've only got themselves to blame. And that is partially true. We do help people who have just spent too much money on their credit cards, but it's only a tiny percentage of the people that we actually do help. More common reasons are ill health. You can't go to work if you're not well. Redundancy. You've got no work, sadly. Relationship breakdown. And these are things that can actually happen to any of us. And some of them can happen quite quickly. And just like a power cut or blackout leaves you in that darkness, unmanageable debt often leaves people trapped in an increasingly hopeless situation. But unlike a power cut, there's no automatic fix. There's no energy company coming running, maybe not running, but you know, coming quickly enough to actually restore your power supply. With unmanageable debt, you're actually left to work it out for yourself. So what's the first thing you do when you do experience a power cut, when the electric does go off? What do most of us do? We go out into the street, don't we? We go out and see who else is affected. We open the front door and peer up and down the street, seeing if there's any light about anywhere. See anybody else has been hit by this. Is it just me? Is it the street? Is it the village or town? And you know somewhere when you look out, there will be a light, however far away that light may be, and you'll think, goodness, look at them. Aren't they blessed? They've still got their electric on. But what if that light was actually just on the other side of your street? Imagine a cold, dark winter's night. Your power's gone off. You're dropped into this blackout. You open your front door. You step out into the night. Your breath rises in front of you as you do. And you look across the street and you can see through the bay window their power's on okay. They've got the lights on. In fact, they've got the TV on. It looks like movie night. And they're tucking into a takeaway and they've got smiles on their faces. And that's the reality of being trapped in this unmanageable debt. It's seeing everyone else around you is doing okay. I think it's just that mic that's on. Seeing everyone else around you is doing okay while you're living in this hopelessness, living in this darkness. Now, some people today may really identify with this description of unmanageable debt. And I'm pleased to tell you that as Christians Against Poverty, we are here to help. Or people you know who are struggling like this, this is what we do. We are here to help people with that situation, with that blackout of unmanageable debt. Could we go to the next slide, please? And if you do know anybody who is suffering in this position, the free phone number is up on the screen there, as you can see. 0800 328 0006. So what does this help actually look like? Well, our friendly and caring team at the New Client Inquiries line at our head office in Bradford, they will book anybody in who lives in the area an appointment with Ruth Waddell, who runs the centre here in Lurgan, the CAP centre, or even if it's over in Portadown, it would be with myself. I'm blessed to have come on board with the Lurgan CAP Centre just recently to be able to help people across in Portadown as well. So Ruth and the team will get in touch with the person or with the family over the phone, visit them in their home, if that's appropriate and if restrictions allow that, listen to them, listen to the story, show deep compassion and understanding, and offer to pray with them. The befriending team as well will get involved, will come alongside, and that could be some of you guys. And thank you, if that is, for all the work and help that you've put in over the years. And the befriending team are lovely. They provide support, provide encouragement as the clients gather their paperwork together. You know, most people we help, they've been struggling for over a year. Some statistics suggest even up to 3 years that people have been struggling. Sometimes they don't know if anybody is actually willing to help them. And other times it's a sense of shame and embarrassment that actually stops them from making that phone call in the first place. That means a considerable length of time for paperwork to pile up, demand letters, bills, unwanted phone calls from companies harassing people for payments, text messages. Some people really do find this utterly overwhelming. We're now going to watch a short video of a guy called Simon who found himself in just the situation I'm describing, this situation of a power cut, of a blackout, of unmanageable debt. But thankfully, as we see the video, Simon ends up living in much brighter circumstances. If we could have the video, please.
Mum, now deceased wife, used to look after the finances. She was the one that was good with the money, where I wasn't, and I'd built up quite a lot of severe debt, unmanageable debt. So I was living in fear of eviction. I'd been served with an eviction notice from my landlords. I didn't see a way forward. I didn't see a way out of it. So I decided, I just tried to end it all. And it was actually my landlords who'd mentioned Christians Against Poverty. They fast-tracked me, and my debt coach, Jim, arrived in my doorstep. Nobody had crossed the threshold. I'd been living there, I think I'd been there nearly 2 years. So the biggest difference that Christians Against Poverty's process made for me was that it was house visits. By the July of 2016, I got that wonderful telephone call from headquarters at CAP, where they said, "Mr. Moss, you are now debt-free," and played the harmonicas, and that's one of the greatest sounds I've ever heard. I then went on a CAP event where I came to faith. This lady put her hands on my shoulder and prayed for me. Just felt an overwhelming sense of calm and peace and love and warmth that I've never experienced before. And I just knew that what it was and committed my life to Jesus there and then. On a Sunday, I can't wait to get up for service. I just love the church family that I've got. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're closer than blood. And we support each other. We live our lives for each other. We're there for each other. And I praise God and thank God for that day that I now know he watched over me when I tried to end it all. And he said, "No, mate, you're not going yet. You've got lots to do." I just felt such an overwhelming sense of wanting to give something back. It's turned my life around 180 degrees, completely structureless to, you know, having a real purpose in life now. Both of my sons, in conversation, saw the difference that coming to faith had made to me. Daz came up first. He's in minor crime, so he'd been in and out of prison. Anyway, he came to the service, sat at the back, listened intently. We happened to be having that evening some baptisms in Newcastle, so he chose to come along and get baptised. And I've never felt so proud in all my life. It was the proudest moment. Sorry. Obviously, it was a tragic situation for us, for the family. But the blessings for me personally is that he's found Jesus and he's been taken to glory with his maker, and he's sat up there and he's looking down on us, and I'm sure he's proud of what his dad's doing. Life can still be tough, but I know that I've always got my church family around me to support me, and I know that I've always got Jesus as my best friend. And as it says, my superhero.
Isn't that an amazing story? And that's just one example of people that CAP help across the UK every year, thousands and thousands of people. We are privileged to walk alongside and to show that deep compassion to trusting that life will improve for them. Perhaps you've been inspired by Simon's story, by the work at CAP, and you're wondering how you can show compassion, this deep compassion. How can you be involved? Well, there's various ways you can be involved with the work of CAP. First one is you can pray. You can pray for us. That would be so much appreciated. Pray for the work generally. But also you could join the local prayer team here in the parish to pray for the work of the Lurgan CAP Centre. If that's something you feel you'd love to do, please do contact Ruth, the centre manager here. Or maybe you feel you've got some practical skills and abilities and you'd love to use those to serve with Christians Against Poverty. Again, chat to Ruth about some of those possibilities. That could be becoming a befriender and getting involved with a client. And yeah, it could be other ways as well that can support the centre, other practical ways. Maybe you could afford to donate to CAP, to give to the work of Christians Against Poverty. You know, contributions from our partner churches, of which this is one, we are so thankful for. But the contributions from partner churches cover about a third of the cost of the debt counselling to be able to help clients like Simon. Most of the remaining two-thirds of our finances comes from almost now 30,000 people across the UK, individuals or families, who give a little donation every month to the work of CAP. I've actually been given, it'll be 14 years actually this year, I've been given to the work of CAP because I was inspired by what the charity does to help people. I'm still inspired actually by what goes on. And these people, we call them life changers because their generosity, above and beyond what they give to their local church, and given out of faith, it really, really does go towards changing people's lives, literally. So if you could donate maybe even £5 a month, that would just be fantastic. That could support our team of debt advisors over in our head office in Bradford, helping people find that life-changing solution to start that journey to get out of debt. Or it could help train a church to run a CAP debt centre, a life skills course, or to run a job club if they're available, providing hope and community for those people who are struggling. Just £5 a month helps people like Simon with the practical help and community that he so desperately needed in order to rebuild life and also to discover the life-changing good news of Jesus. You can set up your gift in just a couple of minutes. I've got some leaflets, actually, just on the little table on your exit on the way out, just close to the hand sanitizer. You can fill your details in and post that off to CAP. Just make sure, though, you do give us the right consent on the form to be able to contact you, because in these days of data protection, even if you put your phone number down or your email address down, unless you tick the consent box for contact, we're not allowed to contact you. So thank you so much. Or you can see on the screen as well, you can do that over the internet, going on to CAP's website through your mobile or on your laptop. You can set that up literally in a matter of minutes. And if that's something you do feel led to do this morning, can I just thank you, because that literally will go towards changing people's lives. So thank you so much again. Now, my illustration, if we could go to the next slide, please. My illustration of a power cut and a blackout. Well, we can extend that illustration into other areas. That could be extended to people who have been left isolated by this pandemic that we're living through. And I've seen that in Portadown. More and more people are really, really isolated from life in general. It can be extended to people facing mental health issues. And again, that's been heightened so much more because of the pandemic. It can be extended to people living with addictions. It can be extended to people who are long-term unemployed. And it could be extended to people who are living below the poverty line, who have to use food banks on a regular basis. And I could probably go on and on, but I think you do get the picture. There are so many living in our communities who are in a power cut or a blackout. In the Gospels, we discover on many occasions that Jesus comes face to face with people who are living in these power cuts or blackouts. He encounters the sick, the seriously ill, and as a result, these people became social outcasts, just like the lepers of the day. He came face to face with people who were affected by unclean spirits. And like in our reading from Luke chapter 7, he came across dead people. He came across those who had been devastatingly affected by death. And I would just like to highlight that when faced with these people living in these power cuts or blackouts, what's Jesus' reaction? What does Jesus actually do? Did he, like much of society at that stage, like the religious leaders of the day, did he just ignore that, keep it at arm's length and move on? Just like if anybody can remember the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. No, Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Jesus, in fact, does the opposite. He goes beyond empathy and he acts with deep compassion to those who are in the power cuts and blackouts of life. In our passage, in our reading, Jesus and the disciples are coming along, and there's a funeral procession coming out of this village called Nain. And we hear that a widow's only son has died. And not only does she have to face the heartbreak of losing her only child, but in an economic sense, this is a devastating blow, because it's more than likely that this lad was the sole provider for the family. And now that he's gone, the only hope she has is to beg and to rely on the generosity of others. Being a widow in first century Galilee was like living in a power cut or a blackout. But let's look how Jesus deals with this lady in that awful, awful situation. In verse 13 of Luke chapter 7, we read that his heart overflowed with compassion whenever he saw her. Jesus is deeply, deeply moved by the plight of this lady. And here's the big thing for me. He doesn't just empathize with her. As good as that is, he is so deeply affected that he goes beyond empathy into compassion. He shows this lady deep, deep compassion. He's willing to take the time to do something to help. And look at the help that he does actually bring. The best help that she could have ever... Well, this is way beyond her own imagination, I'm sure. This is something that didn't happen in a regular basis. It didn't happen at all in this society. He touches the bier. Some translations call this a coffin. It's written so we can understand. This would have been an open casket with the body, on display. Jesus goes across and actually touches this bier. This is something the religious leaders definitely would not have done. They would have kept out of the way. And he instructs the lad lying in this open casket to get up. He's so moved, Jesus, out of his compassion, that he literally reaches out to this widow in her power cut, in her blackout. And he raises her son from the dead. This is absolutely incredible stuff. The compassion that he shows to help this lady out of his love for her. See, Jesus is not some form of impersonal God. He's just the opposite, in fact. Jesus wants to be so real to us in our lives, in every aspect of life, especially through the power cuts and the blackouts that we will all go through at different periods of life. The deep compassion that he has for each and every one of us is absolutely stunning. So, as followers of Jesus, how do we follow his example? What can we do? Do we just sit idly by when we see people in problems and difficulties, or read about it and see videos of it? Do we just empathize with people? As good as that is? No. We just can't do that. In Matthew chapter 25, this is what Jesus says, very clearly actually. He tells us to feed the hungry, give the thirsty a drink, invite the stranger in, clothe the naked, look after the sick, and visit the prisoner. He calls us to operate out of the same compassion that he does, to reach out to those around us who are struggling through whatever power cut or blackout that they might be experiencing. Whether that's a power cut of unmanageable debt, of homelessness, bereavement, addiction, or so much more. But you know what the biggest power cut or blackout is that any of us will ever face in our lives? It's actually living without Jesus. It's not having a relationship with God. It's being separated from God. This is a God who loves us so much. This is a God who is so compassionate towards us and wants nothing more than we actually know him in a personal way. Do you know what prevents us from having this relationship with God? Do you know what blocks this relationship with God? It's all the stuff that we do wrong. It's our mess. It's our shame. It blocks that relationship. The Bible calls all this stuff sin. Listen to this verse out of Revelation chapter 21. This verse tells us that telling one lie causes that blockage between us and God. It says this, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." That doesn't sound good, does it? That sounds pretty horrendous, actually. All liars, that's their fate. Now, I don't know about you. I have probably told thousands of lies in my life. I think we're all probably guilty of that one. And you can see from that description that God's standards are so incredibly high that none of us can get anywhere near his standards. No matter how much we recycle, give blood, help old ladies across the street, the reality is we are never good enough. We can never be good enough to reach God's incredibly high standards. You see, God is holy. He cannot tolerate our sin anywhere near him. And that obviously prevents the possibility of a relationship with him. It's our sin, it's our lying, our stealing, just taking stuff that doesn't belong to us, our unjustified anger, our hatred, our jealousy, and much, much more that prevents relationship with him. And it leaves us in utter spiritual power cut, blackout, and darkness, separated from him. This is what we deserve: judgment, condemnation, and his anger. It's not very pleasant reading, is it, or hearing? However, out of his overflowing compassion for us, out of his love for us, he does not want to leave us in that position. Jesus came to earth. He lived the perfect life. I love the fact that Jesus is not some sort of fictional character. Real life, historical character. We can trace him back 2,000 years. No historian worth his salt or her salt would try to say that Jesus didn't exist. He ended up being murdered by the Roman authorities of the day, who were put up to it by the religious leaders who just hated Jesus so much because he talked against their man-made rules and regulations of how you can somehow get right with God. Nonsense. It's only on God's terms we can do it, not in man's terms. But when Jesus died on that cross, all our sin, all our shame, all our mess, he paid the price for it with his life. He paid the debt of sin which we owe towards this holy God. And in doing so, he satisfied God's requirement for justice. Of course, he didn't stay dead. 3 days and 3 nights later, He was resurrected, and in the process, defeated death and sin. So how do we benefit from this amazing love and deep, deep compassion that God has for us? Jesus and his disciples tell us that we have to repent and believe. We've got to be truly sorry for what we've done wrong to offend God. Ask him to forgive us. And it's only then that we can come out of our power cut, out of our blackout, out of our spiritual darkness, and come into this relationship with God, which we were created for in the first place. Come into his wonderful, wonderful light. If anybody would be interested in finding out more about a relationship with God, I've got some little booklets with me. I'll obviously be outside as you leave. Just come over and say, "Jim, can I have one of those booklets, please?" And this will describe to you in lovely, simple terms just how to start that relationship with a God who wants nothing more than for you to know him personally. Let me just pray to close. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the deep, deep compassion that you show to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, that through his sacrifice that we can know you personally, that we can come out of our blackout, away from our power cut, away from that spiritual darkness, and to come into your wonderful, wonderful light. Father, just bless these guys. Thank you for all they do in reaching out into the community through the different compassion ministries, through the work of CAP. Just bless them, Father, in all of that. And guide us by your Spirit. If there's anybody here, Father, who feels they'd like to get involved in whatever aspect, just help them to come into chat. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.